Pleasant good morning to you. We have several who have gathered with us today. We're thankful for your presence. If you're visiting, we're especially happy to have you here. Hope that you'll open your Bibles with us as we look to God's Word this morning. I want to speak today about ignorance, and I'm going to start with myself. I am willfully ignorant on a number of topics. I know nothing about repairing a car. I hire people to do that. They even change my oil and rotate my tires for me. I can change a flat, but I don't care to learn any more about how to fix a car. I am a computer user. I cannot build a computer. I struggle to understand the way they function somewhat, and I'm perfectly fine to remain that way. I have said publicly and still believe it's true, we are all ignorant in some areas. I offer you some statistics, American statistics. According to the National Literary Institute, 21% of adults in the United States were illiterate in 2024. 21%. They can't read. 54% had a literacy below a sixth grade level, and 20% were below fifth grade level. The 2013 Program for the International Assessment of Adult Competencies stated that just 9% of Americans aged 16 to 65 are proficient in math. A recent Gallup poll indicated only 34% of the public in the United States No, there are three branches of our government: legislative, judicial, and executive. On June 15th of 2017, the Washington Post reported on a poll by the Innovation Center for the United States Dairy, which stated that 48% of 1,000 Americans polled didn't know where chocolate milk comes from. And 7% said it came from brown cows. I can't make those things up. Some statistics about American biblical literacy. According to a poll by Gallup and Castelli, only 4 out of 10 know that Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount. Less than 50% of adults can name Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the four Gospels. 2 out of 5 evangelists from a Barna poll believe that it doesn't matter what religious faith you are because all faiths teach similar lessons about life. In that same Barna poll from 2015, 45% of U.S. adults believe the Bible teaches that God helps those who help themselves. By the way, that phrase is not in the Bible anywhere. 60% of Americans can't name 5 of the 10 commandments. 33% of evangelicals surveyed believe we all pray to the same God and that faith in Christ is not absolutely necessary, so long as you're a good person. 50% do not realize the golden rule is not one of the 10 commandments. 50% of high school seniors in that poll thought Sodom and Gomorrah were a married couple. And only 36% of Americans in 2025 now hold that the Bible is 100% accurate. 36%. In the year 2000, 25 years ago, it was 43%. It's dropped 7%. My lesson today is about the tragedy of ignorance of what God has said. My first point speaks of ignorance at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3 and in verse 17, Peter preaching says, "And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also." Peter does not mean they were innocent in having put Jesus to death. He had just said and proved they had put Jesus to death in verses 14 and 15. And then in verse 19, he's going to exhort them to repent. Peter says they were ignorant that Jesus was the Messiah. The word ignorant literally means you don't know. The same thing that Jesus said when he was dying in Luke 23 and verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They were ignorant. A few pages over in Acts chapter 13 and in verse 27, we see this same concept that those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers recognize neither him nor the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. They could not see how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies from God regarding the Messiah. They did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. They didn't believe from the facts of his life or teaching. They couldn't even recognize how they were fulfilling the prophecies in killing him. They allowed their ignorance to dominate their thinking. Now in Matthew chapter 27 and in verse 20 beginning, it tells us that the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They all said, crucify him. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they kept shouting all the more, saying, crucify him. The people didn't believe, and the rulers didn't believe. They did not look at the evidence. They were not convinced. And some of the people Peter speaks to in Acts 3:17 were there. You acted in ignorance, he said. Luke 12 and verse 34 has Jesus saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Many today have this kind of heart, but they don't want to investigate. They don't want to be convinced. They're happy with what they currently believe. That's what their heart is like. They're strongly opposed to anything that goes against what they believe. Others are simply content to accept what others have said and others have taught. They allow the influence of the chief priests and the elders to cause them to call for Jesus' death rather than examine the facts. Some will not change even when they see the evidence. They follow their own heart rather than God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7, Scripture says, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The hidden wisdom was regarding the salvation of mankind, the coming of the Son of David, who would bring salvation and establish a kingdom that would be above all kingdoms. Most Jews were looking for a physical kingdom, and the teaching of Jesus didn't speak of that. Had they understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, but in their ignorance, they did crucify him. We also can be ignorant of Jesus' crucifixion. We can blind ourselves to how Jesus fulfilled everything spoken by the prophets regarding the Messiah. We cannot inform ourselves about what the prophets said. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, do not think that I come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. we should be able to see those fulfillments if we know the teaching in the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, Jesus told the apostles, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And he does fulfill them all. But men didn't see it. And some today still do not see it. This ignorance is dangerous. Peter told the people again in Acts 3, verse 19, "Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And some today also need to repent and believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Now let's consider some ignorance in relation to misguided zeal. And I would point to Romans chapter 10 and in verse 1, where Paul writes, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." Paul's heart and desire for them is about the Israelites. A page back in Romans chapter 9, and in verse 31, he speaks of Israel that pursued a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works, they stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." This passage tells us that they stumbled over Christ. He is the stone that was set in Zion. Their zeal was not in accordance with knowledge. They didn't know what God said. They didn't know about God's righteousness in the new covenant. And zeal without knowledge is very dangerous. I think every human would agree with that. We would most assuredly do something wrong, which we will later regret when we gain the knowledge. Because of this zeal without knowledge, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. They did not accept Jesus. They did not obey the gospel. They clung to the law of Moses. And Paul includes himself as one who was like that. In 1 Timothy 1 and in verse 13, he says, "Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief." He was right there with them. Can you see his misguided zeal? Blasphemer, persecutor, violent aggressor. But he acted in ignorance and disbelief. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus warns the apostles about this misguided zeal. John 15, and in verse 20, Scripture says, "Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all of these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me." And a page over in John 16 and in verse 1, it says, "These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me." Many today also live and operate in the ignorance of misguided zeal. They think they're doing great things in service to God, but because of ignorance, they have not known the Father or Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Many today are doing things, supposedly, in the Lord's name, but they're acting in ignorance and don't know that they're practicing lawlessness. There's a great zeal in the world today to do good things that's happening in a lot of churches that call themselves Christians. Zeal for establishing and supporting organizations from the church treasury to do things that aren't a part of the work of the church, such as, let's establish a hospital. Or let's create this emergency relief organization. Or kitchens to feed the community. Or building ballparks, and let's organize teams and have sports. The ignorance of misguided zeal is very dangerous. Scripture also speaks of an ignorance that would distort Scripture. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 16, it says, "As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction." Two groups are being described in this passage. The first is the untaught, people who do not know what the Bible says. On a subject, they'll lift a quote from anywhere in Scripture to make their point, and they don't care what the context is. And they don't care if it contradicts other passages in Scripture because they don't know the other passages of Scripture. It's a dangerous position to be untaught. Secondly, he speaks of the unstable. These are those who vacillate in their faith, those who are not steadfast. And I've seen this attitude in brethren who are weak in faith, who distort Scripture to support their defense for their lack of obedience, and they misapply what Scripture says. The word distort in this passage is translated in the King James with the word rest, W-R-E-S-T. And the word literally here means to twist, torture, pervert. To make a verse mean something it doesn't mean. That's got to be the understanding of what they're doing. And notice that God says through Peter that they do this to their own destruction, spiritual destruction. Now, Jesus spoke along these lines in Matthew 22 and verse 29 when he told some people, "You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures or the power of God." He is saying this in this context to some Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in life after death. But they have asked him the question, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? Well, why are you asking that question if you don't believe in life after death? They don't understand the scriptures, nor the power of God. In verse 30 of this opening, it says, "In the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage." They did not understand about marriage ending when the spouse died, which is taught in several places, nor the fact that there's not going to be any marriage in heaven. They didn't understand the power of God to resurrect the dead. And that's the point that he makes in verses 31 and 32. That regarding the resurrection of the dead, "Have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living." which is a quote from Exodus 3 and verse 6, where God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. Theirs was an ignorance that distorted Scripture. In a similar way, consider the reading in 2 Peter chapter 3 and beginning in verse 3. 2 Peter 3 and in verse 3. It says, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming?' For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." He says, it escaped their notice that God created by his word, destroyed the world with the flood, and that the world is presently maintained by God until the judgment. But all of those are taught in Scripture. But the mocker is not interested in Scripture. He's interested in following his own lusts. They have no intention to follow God. And God, through Peter, points to the future in this passage when men would say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Speaking of the second coming of Christ. A biblical promise. And they mock what Scripture says. They use Scripture to supposedly demonstrate how false it is, and many people treat Scripture that way today. What we are told as Christians can be found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, that we are to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The majority of people who call themselves Christians, I'm convinced, do not accurately handle the word of truth, I'm convinced, mainly because of ignorance. But that ignorance leads to their own destruction. All the more reason for us to not be ignorant, but knowledgeable about the word of God. We need to understand that ignorance alienates us from God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 18, Ephesians 4:18 speaks of some Gentiles, and in that context I believe he's speaking of those who are not Christians, that they are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Everything in this verse is because of this ignorance that's in them, the lack of knowledge and understanding. That's the root of the problem that he's addressing. But the reason they remain ignorant is because of the hardness of their heart. Their heart could be related to the parable of the sower. Theirs is the seed that fell on the path that couldn't get into the soil, and the birds came and ate it up. Their hard heart is what's being spoken of. The heart that cannot be penetrated by the truth of God. We have to have a soft heart to hear and accept the truth. Those with a hard heart don't want to believe. And they're going to fight against truth for what they think is right. The hard heart keeps them ignorant of the truth. And because of ignorance, they are darkened in their understanding, the New American Standard says, beginning of verse 18. They don't know the truth, nor do they understand it. They struggle to understand how others could believe anything that is God's truth. They may know some of the Bible, but their understanding would be weak, Darkened in this place literally means obscured. They can't see the light. Because of ignorance, they are excluded from the life of God. If you like to underline in your Bible, that's a strong one to underline. They are excluded. Well, did God exclude them? Well, Titus 2 and 11 says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. All men can be saved, but we must be willing to obey God. If we don't believe in Jesus and obey the truth, then we are excluded from eternal life. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God offers it to us, every one of us. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8 says, the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. It is very clear from Scripture, God does not save everyone, as some are teaching today. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If I am not in Christ, then I have no spiritual blessings and I am excluded from the life of God. In 1 John chapter 5, and in verse 10, 1 John 5 and verse 10, it says, the one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And my point here is that ignorance alienates us from God because we won't obey Him. My fifth point for the lesson today is that ignorance leads us to forbidden desires. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 14, Scripture says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. Well, the former lusts in our ignorance are things we did because we didn't know God said it was wrong, that God said it was sin. Man allows lusts to consume and drive the actions and the thoughts. That's the way of the world. Yet for the Christian, it cannot be. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 5, Scripture says, we're to live not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. We're not supposed to live that way. God has said what is sinful, what will condemn a person, but the ignorant do not know what God has said, or they do not understand it. This is easily seen in the behavior of the world. People all around us use all sorts of foul language. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 tells us as Christians to let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And it shocks me how many public figures I see who claim to be Christians who regularly curse and use foul language. People today live together without being married. We hear this referred to as being together or being partners. Yet Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh? So they are no longer two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. We're not supposed to live in sexual immorality. Marriage is the only God-approved way in which we can have relations. The world doesn't live that way. Many people in our society work very hard to become wealthy. Jesus says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 24, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. 1 John 2 and 16 tells us, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. But that's not the way the Christian is supposed to live. We can't be ignorant about what God has said. In Romans chapter 6 and in verse 12, Romans 6 and verse 12, Scripture says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. This means I'm going to have to know what God says is sinful so that I can know to not obey those lusts. To allow sin to reign means I have lost control of myself. I do not stop myself. My conscience does not bother me when I sin. My heart has grown hard. So we're told in Ephesians 6 and 13 to take up the full armor of God that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. We don't give in to the lusts. We have to fight against them and deny them. I think James 4 and verse 7 makes the choice very clear. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We cannot remain ignorant of what God calls sin. We can't allow our heart to be hardened or we're going to be lost. I put before you Psalm 119 and verse 11, which says, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. This is the foundation of a good heart and maintaining a good heart. Read the word of God. To treasure his word is about where would we put a prized possession? Where do you put this to safeguard it? Well, I have a copy of the Bible. Well, that's great. But God says we're supposed to have it in our heart. I have to know what God says is right and wrong. Yes, I can go and look things up when I need to, but in that moment when I am confronted with a lustful temptation, I've got to know in that moment what's right, what's wrong. I got to know the word. I don't have to be able to quote it, but I need to know what God has said. The only way I can keep from sinning is to know what God says is sin. So why would anyone want to remain ignorant of God's truth? And my last point for the lesson this morning. Ignorance leads us to being eternally lost. And I'd like to start with a passage from the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. And in verse 6, God, through the prophet Hosea, is telling the people, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They rejected knowledge. They don't want to know. They don't seek to learn or understand. They're content with a lack of knowledge. They had forgotten the law of God. It faded from their memory. They removed it from their thoughts. They're not concerned about what God has said and clearly don't think that it's important enough to prioritize in their life. And the next generations also sinned against God because they were ignorant of his truth. It wasn't taught to them by their parents or grandparents. We have to teach our children so that they will not sin against God. So in this passage, God rejected the priests whom he's addressing. Their glory in their sin would be changed into shame by God's rejection. Another example of this can be found in Isaiah 5 and verse 13, where God, through the prophet, says, "Therefore, my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst." The exile was literal, in that the Israelites were being taken captive by foreign nations and carried off into slavery. It was a result of a lack of knowledge of how to please God. The attitude of the people today is not so different than people in the past. The ignorance, a lack of knowledge, causes people to be lost eternally. Surely we can see the dangers of ignorance. Yet how hard are we pursuing knowledge and understanding of God's Word? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 says that the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Eternal destruction is the only result from those who don't obey. We have to know how to obey him, and we must accomplish obedience in our life. Ignorance is not bliss. That's a popular saying of man, which I believe the devil loves. The ignorant are happy and content in their sin, but they're going to be called to account by God in the judgment day. We can't allow our understanding of Scripture to be poor or small. We need a strong understanding so that we'll not sin against God. We cannot be like the biblically illiterate that I spoke of in the introduction of this lesson. We have to grow in our knowledge and our understanding. 2 Peter 3 and 18 says to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, that's not just going to happen unless I'm going to put effort into it. The truth of God about how we can be saved is simple. You don't have to know everything before you can obey the gospel. In the New Testament, there's many who heard the gospel for the first time, and they obeyed the gospel that same day. And there's a few recorded that obeyed the gospel the very same hour. We have to understand that we need to grow in our knowledge and understanding, but our entrance into Christ does not demand the full understanding of everything God has said. I've met with several people who felt like they didn't know enough yet, and they knew a lot of Scripture. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and confess that before men. We must repent of our sin, so there must be some understanding of how I have committed sin. We must be baptized for the forgiveness of sin, Acts 2:38. And this places us in him, into Christ, Galatians 3, verse 27. Well, you've heard the truth of this today. Knowledge has been gained. What will you do with that knowledge? Will you reject it, or will you obey it? As the child of God, we have to work to grow. The more we learn God's Word, the more we see the need to make changes in our life, and often in repentance for sin that we didn't understand we were committing because we studied and saw something. We have to know what God says so that we don't sin against Him. And I urge you to take this lesson to heart and examine your own habits of Bible reading, your level of understanding of God's Word, how well you are obeying Him. Don't compare yourself to others. Compare yourself to Scripture, God's standard. And if you see a need to repent of your sin, then I encourage you to do so. change your heart about sin, soften your heart, submit yourself to God, obey His word. And the saints of this congregation are very loving. We're not going to treat anyone harshly who seeks prayers or help in standing firm. I do believe we all have moments of weakness and strength as Christians. We're all working to prevent the weak moments. But we cannot know to pray for anyone unless you let that be known. That's how you can get help when things are struggling. I encourage you, let your request be made known. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come forward now as we stand and sing.